Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, I've observed something. I'm a very simple-minded person, so I tend to hope to break things down to their simplest form. One of the biggest differences between historic creedal Christianity and American evangelicalism, one of the biggest differences, is really simple. It's the difference between external and internal. Historic creedal Christianity locates things like certainty, God's work, all of those, our assurance, externally, that is outside the Christian. And American evangelicalism locates all those things inside you. Now you say, well, what's the difference? It's a huge difference. It's an enormous difference. And it has given rise in American evangelicalism to all kinds of cliches. Like, you ever heard the one where God is tugging at your heart or pulling at your heart or leading you? It's a lot of different forms here, but God is working internally on you to try and move you in one direction or another. Joining us to respond to that cliche, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Okay, when would we normally, under what circumstances would we normally hear someone in pop American evangelicalism use the cliche, I feel God tugging at my heart?
All the time. I mean, there's not a single place in American Christianity that does not centralize on the feeling. So you have the feeling is there for the when it's time to decide for Jesus, when you're having the altar call and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. The feeling is definitely there whenever the church is, it's time to commit to the building project and you're to pray and see if God leads you to give, you know, more money. It's there when you're being taught what it means to live a Christian life. And God's will is to be sought in your own heart, and God is supposed to confirm if something is good or holy or for you by if you feel led by God. It's there in the worship when all of the goal of the worship song and the praise and worship time is so that you have a feeling of God's presence, and you feel the Spirit there with you. There's not a single time for the American Christian when the feeling of God's direct influence and His direct presence is not central to what it means for them to be a Christian.
So it goes back to one of the things that we've talked about many times with you, and this notion that I am always kind of taking my internal temperature or kind of feeling around inside myself in order to figure out what God is trying to tell me.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily telling me. He's not succeeding very well. Or maybe I'm not hearing him well enough, but I'm trying to figure out what God's trying to tell me in any given circumstance.
And it's so, I mean, it's convenient for the teachers because our feelings and our emotions, just we know this from our everyday life, are very, very imprecise instruments. I mean, you know, you can feel sad, or you can feel happy, or you can feel depressed. I mean, there's a huge range of feelings, but they are not precise. You can feel hungry, and often they don't match up with what's real. You know, I can feel grumpy when things are going great, and I can feel great when everything's falling apart. I mean, that our emotions and our feelings are not precise. And as soon as you bring God's work it chiefly into the realm of feelings and emotions, then you immediately obscure everything that God wants to give to us. And this is really one of the big problems, is that when you make God's work a matter of feeling, then you put a question mark where the Lord intends for there to be an exclamation point. I mean, you bring doubt where the Lord wants there to be certainty.
Now, we're not talking about, someone might say, well, aren't you just really talking about the conscience? You know, that kind of inner sense or voice that Christians ought to listen to when it comes to deciding what to do? We're not talking about the conscience here, are we?
Yeah, it's something more than that. And I think probably someone had a word for it at some point, and I just haven't figured out what it is. But it is more than that. It's almost like a sixth sense, like an inner eye kind of thing, where there's this understanding that there is an antenna inside of me. I mean, the conscience we all have, and it's a part of ourself. It's a part of our heart. It's not, my conscience is not God. It's me. Hopefully, my conscience is reflecting God's word, both of law and gospel. The conscience is part of me, but that is not what's happening in American Christianity. It's God there inside of me, communicating directly to me apart from his word. And in fact, most of the time he's doing that without using words, but he's communicating by impressions, by hints, by tickles, by suggestion. And so that communication, again, is very, very imprecise. But this is the key difference. The conscience belongs to me, but this kind of feeling, it belongs directly to God.
Okay, so this is, whether it's articulated by the individual evangelical this way or not, it is most definitely considered to be a divine voice coming from within.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the problem, I mean, we talked about this, it obscures God's work, but the other thing that it does is it's an assault on the Scripture. I mean, whenever I need the voice of God on the inside, even if the evangelicals say, well, that voice on the inside confirms God's word, well, even there it's dangerous. Because what we've done is we've said that God's word is not enough. I mean, we have an attribute of the Scripture that is so important here, and that is that the Scriptures are sufficient, that when we have God's word, we have all that we need. But as soon as I, as a preacher, say that God has more to teach you and tell you apart from his word, or when I, as a Christian, expect that God has more to teach or tell me apart from his word, then I've declared the Scriptures to be insufficient. And then I have not only declared the Scriptures to be insufficient, but now I've made myself more holy than all those other Christians that don't have a direct revelation from God. I mean, I remember there was a time when someone was telling me that Jesus had told her something. And it just so happened that the thing that Jesus told her had to do with me. I mean, it was something that I was supposed to do. And I said, well, next time Jesus talks to you, could you tell him to talk to me directly as well? Because you have the great advantage of listening to the voice of Jesus, but I have the great disadvantage of having to listen to your voice. I mean, why can't I listen to Jesus too? But that's exactly what this idea is, that Jesus talks to me, is that I now become holier than the people who only have God's word. And that is a very dangerous spiritual place to be.
Does it, in effect, come to substitute for the external word of God, for Scripture itself?
Well, yes, in this way. Although maybe it's a chicken and an egg question, again, because I think that evangelical American Christian theology begins with the removal of the efficiency of God's word. And we say that God's word is the means through which the Holy Spirit works to give spiritual benefit, and the only means. And that's where our sacramental theology comes from, that baptism forgives sins, that absolution forgives sins, that the Lord's Supper gives us the body and blood of Jesus and it forgives sins, that the preaching of the word creates and sustains faith. All of that comes from the doctrine of the efficacy of the Scripture. And American evangelicalism does not teach or confess the efficacy of the Scripture. They say that God's word is information, but they would never say that it is powerful enough. And in the void created by the denial of the efficacy of the word, all sorts of other things have to creep in. And this is one of those things, that the Holy Spirit has to, in fact, come and confirm the Scripture, that he's going to speak directly to my heart, because the Scriptures are not enough. So I think, in fact, Todd, that this idea that God speaks to us does not result in the denial of the power of the external word, but rather the loss of the power of the external word results in the exaltation of all these other replacement words of God.
So you're saying this is what rushes in to fill the void when Christians believe that Scripture is mere information and is not actually the living voice of God by which he does what he does.
It's at least one of the things that rushes in to fill the void, and in a lot of ways, it's the main thing that rushes in to fill the void, my feeling of God's presence and my sense of his word.
So I'm wondering, does this also have not only changed the Christian's view of God's word, or results from a change of the Christian's view of God's word, does it also result in the change in the way the Christian thinks about prayer? If he's got the antenna on the inside for kind of feeling what God is doing, or feeling God's tug someplace, what role does prayer play in it?
Well, that's right, and this gets to another cliche. We keep stumbling across these cliches that I've forgotten, but this would be the one, the cliche that gets at that for prayer. And you'll hear the evangelicals say a lot of times, prayer is a two-way conversation. And that's the idea that, you know, we normally think of prayer as us asking God for the things that we need. Now, evangelicals don't even like that idea of prayer. They say it's not right to always be asking God for things. But that's wrong. I mean, that's what prayer is, asking God for the things that we need and thanking him for the things that he's given us that we needed. But the prayer is a two-way conversation, means that I speak to God and then I'm quiet, so that I can listen to God speaking back to me. And so I'm now trying to quiet myself. I'm trying to tune in the antenna of my whatever that thing is on the inside of me that picks up the voice of God that we need to figure out what's called. I'm tuning in so that God can now speak directly to me and to my heart. And if you don't do that, for the evangelical, you haven't prayed. Of course, in the Bible, that's wrong. I mean, if you want to listen to God, you don't, you know, sit by yourself and try to tune in to the heavenly radio station. You read the Bible. I mean, that's where you hear God's voice, and it speaks there very clearly.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and editor of Around the Word Devotions. We're dealing with the evangelical cliche, if you feel God tugging at your heart. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmuller is our guest. We're responding to evangelical cliche, if you feel God tugging on your heart. I'm curious, Brian, whether or not this has a really profound potential to create confusion between what God wants and what I want, between God's desire and my desire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, does it ever? I there's all these crazy stories. I remember back in the old evangelical days, but, you know, one of the other problems is that apparently, and I think this is kind of a mark of immaturity as well. So I think for kind of mature American evangelicals, that they would be able to recognize this. I would certainly hope. But one of the marks really that we had for the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit works spontaneously. So if something was planned out, then obviously that was not the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't work through plans. He has to just make stuff up. So you would get all of these sorts of crazy ideas and incredibly stupid and spontaneous. And because it was spontaneous, it must be what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. So, I mean, I remember this couple. They rushed into our Bible study one day, and they had just met that day, and now the Holy Spirit had told them that they should get married to each other. And we all said, that's crazy. It must be the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can't, you know, it's wild to think back on that sort of craziness. But that's exactly it. No, it just so happens that they also didn't mind the idea of getting married to each other after only knowing each other for 8 hours. And so it's very convenient when the desires and impressions that the Holy Spirit puts on my heart also happen to match up just exactly with the things that I want to do.
There's something lurking behind this, and we've talked about it many times. It's one of the major features of American evangelicalism, and that's this kind of mysticism. Explain what it is.
I think I define mysticism this way. I don't know if it's helpful or not, but mysticism is the theological movement that puts the adherent in motion towards a direct and immediate experience of the of unity with the divine. So now, mysticism does not have to be Christian. There's Eastern mysticism, Hindu and Buddhist. That all the Eastern religions are really mystical. There's Islamic and Jewish mysticism. In Judaism, it's really kind of the Kabbalah kind of stuff. And it's mysticism in a lot of ways is the same as Gnosticism, but it has this unique feature that says that I, as a human being, can experience the unmediated, the direct presence of God. And how do I know that I'm experiencing the direct presence of God? Well, it's something like a feeling. It's this internal, direct knowledge that God is present. And this is the main feature of the worship, at least of American Christianity, at least of praise and worship music, is that the whole goal of that time of praise and worship is that I experience the immediate presence of God. Now, there's a lot of things wrong with that. I mean, the assumptions that we, in fact, can handle an unmediated meeting with God is a huge assumption, even just to start. That we want an unmediated unity with God is another one. And that's what God gives us wants to give us in the church is a third assumption, all that are dangerous and all these that are wrong. But this idea that I feel the presence of God immediately inside of me really can only result in two things, and those are pride on the one side or despair on the other. Pride, because look, I am one with God, and God is one with me, and I'm feeling it. It's a unique experience to me. And despair, when I don't have that feeling, and I wonder what's going on, that God isn't coming to me to embrace me in this way.
So what happens when God's word says one thing, Scripture says one thing, but as an evangelical, I feel God tugging my heart in another direction?
Yeah, well, maybe one of two things happens. I mean, either you lose your faith altogether. Well, so let me start. Let me back up. Every evangelical that I know of is going through that struggle right there. They're going through that path of the fact that God's word and my own feelings and experience of God do not match. They can't match. I mean, because one is the way God wants to deal with us, and the other is not. And so every evangelical is on that path, and they're swinging back and forth between the pride and despair of those two things. And they know that this is not what Christianity is supposed to be about. I mean, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, but they've got no comfort at all. I mean, they've either got the pride of their own works and obedience and the intimacy with God, or they've got the despair that they just they've lost that love and feeling and they don't have it anymore, and they're wandering. And that path, I think, ends in two directions. It goes through various kind of spiritual intensities, and it eventually ends either in becoming an atheist that says the whole thing was a lie, or it ends in becoming a Lutheran and realizing that God, when I, whatever I was listening to in my own feelings, I don't know what that was, but I know that God is talking to me when I read the Bible. That's what it means to be a Lutheran, is to trust that the words of the Scriptures are true and that all these other words need to come under the dominion of the Word of God.
What happens when the my heart tugging is pulling me in a different direction than my pastor's heart tugging? He's got his tugs, I got my tugs, and he's telling me I should go the direction that God's tugging his heart, and my heart is saying something else.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that our mutual friend Chris Roseborough is always dealing with, because when you got the visionary pastor, he what that means is he's saying that I've got a clearer line to communicate with God than you. So you gotta listen to me. And that's a very, very dangerous sort of thing. I mean, the preacher will come there and tell you that, hey, if God is not tugging you, your heart in the same direction that he's tugging mine, then you've obviously got something wrong with your heart. And now you're at a crossroads. I mean, are you going to let the authority be this false teacher and his visions, or are you going to let the authority be the false visions and dreams of your own heart? Now, I mean, either way is bad. I mean, both are so dangerous because both again are pulling away from the Scriptures. I mean, in a very basic level, you know, that every Christian is tempted to ask this question: what is God's will for my life? Well, every Christian asks that question. And every Christian is tempted to think that that will is going to be revealed apart from the Bible. And now I'm looking for a way for that to be revealed, either in my own heart or in the visionary heart of my pastor. But both are the wrong places to look. I mean, God reveals his will for our lives in the Ten Commandments. And in the gospel, I mean, his will for our life is repentance and life, and we can have a certainty and a confidence about that because he's given it to us in the Scripture.
Finally, then, talk here about how ultimately discouraging is. I don't use that word purely in an emotional sense, but it robs Christians of the proper encouragement that is there in God's Word, in Holy Scripture. How discouraging it is to listen for or feel around for God in one's own heart.
Yeah, can you imagine? It's like it'd be like a, I should have a better picture for this, but it'd be like a husband who wrote a beautiful love letter to his wife, and it was full of all of what he really thought and how he really felt about his wife, and just before she read it, some wicked friend of hers came and told her the lie that, hey, that's not really from your husband. He copied it off the internet. And now all of the great joy and treasures that she should have from reading that letter have been stolen from her because she doesn't think it's actually really true, that she should get another word from her husband some other way. Well, that's exactly what this whole thing does to the Christian when they pick up God's word. They say, oh, no, that's not really enough. You got to feel it. It's got to be confirmed in your heart. If you don't hear it directly from God, it doesn't count. And now all of the joy and the comfort and the confidence and the certainty and the faith-creating beauty of God's word is stripped away from this great treasure of the church. Now that is despairing, and that is tragic. It's not what God wants for his church.
Then with only 30 seconds, 20 seconds actually, Brian, where can the Christian go to actually hear what God is saying?
Yeah, my sheep hear my voice, says Jesus, and that hearing of the voice is in the Word. Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this, they have no light. But in the Scripture, in the prophets and the apostles, we hear the very counsel of God, the conversation of heaven, which is about you, dear friend, and it's about your forgiveness. That's great.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He's editor of Around the Word Devotions. You'll find information on these resources under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fikancher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about Jesus and the rich young man, the very famous encounter between Jesus and this young man in Mark chapter 10. We'll also continue our weekly series on Christian apologetics, talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about a counterclaim. There are many ways to God. Yes, sure, Christianity is a way to God. It may even be our way. It might even be a slightly superior way, but it isn't the only way. We'll get Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's response to that on Issues Etc. tomorrow. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.